Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I have to share that I enjoyed the worship this morning.
Yeah.
It's the closest thing to Jamaica that I've had in Indiana so far. It's hard. The first Sunday away from Jamaica worship, it's like, okay, I've got to stand here and I can't dance and I can't go into the glory and I can't, you know. I was able to clap this morning and enjoy. So bless you, brother, for that. Thank you so much. James, thank you so much. It's just an awesome privilege and an honor to be back among all of you again. For those of you that I don't know, please come and speak to me afterwards. If you don't understand, James or Kim will translate.
Yes.
You can play back the service later on, and if a little bit of patwork creeps in, no, I won't do that to you. But can I just bring you greetings from Jamaica and from Annotto Bay Baptist Church, and obviously from Pastor Travis, who is back in DC again. He is not able to visit Indiana at this time, but he assures me that when he next comes back, he will visit Here's Hope, either with or without me, because you guys are very dear to his heart and he's so thankful. We're going to watch a video, a short video, and many of you have already seen this, and it's a video about a project that we have begun in Jamaica. So we're going to watch the video, and then I'll ask you to pause the video, please, so that I can tell you what's been going on and then update you about some other events that have happened in Jamaica and take you through some of the things since, I think it's 10 months since I was here, October last year. So a lot has happened since then, but I want us to watch the video first of all, please, guys, if that's okay. Hi, everyone. I'm standing underneath the breadfruit tree in the grounds of Annotto Bay Baptist Church, right beside the building next door, which is our ministry centre, and which is where we hope that we can facilitate accommodation, short-term emergency accommodation for women in crisis. This project would be known as Restoring Hope. And many of you have heard me talk about my focus in this season is particularly trying to help women who have been abused, women who have been had to relocate for whatever reason. And so this project will instigate help and hope for the future for these ladies. This building, I'm going to take you inside in a moment or two. We are hoping that we can start to renovate very soon to make accommodation available, which is very, very, very much needed at the moment. You all have heard my stories about the families and the women that I've already been helping and how we need to increase that help and to make services available that are not available at the moment. So come with me and I'll show you inside and you'll see the extent of the project that we're going to undertake. All right? So this is the entrance into the ministry centre, and I'm going to take you through to the area which will be used for residential accommodation. So this area is the bathroom area, which the facilities are already in place, as you can see. And this will lead into this area here, which at the minute is just basically a storage area. So in this area, we would hope to have bunk beds and at least two separate areas where two different families or two different ladies could be accommodated at the moment. And we would hope in total that we could sleep up to six people, including children. This area here would be turned into the kitchen area. And as you can see, it'll be back to the bare bones. So there's a lot of work to be done, but we know that we can do it. We know that God is able. And we want just, you know, thinking about the words of Isaiah 41:10, Do not fear, for I am with you, and do not be afraid, for I am your God. We want the ladies that come here, the families that come here, to understand and know that the Lord is with them. And as we encourage them and as we help them financially and to get back onto their feet, we also want to pour into them spiritually. So please, I would ask that you would pray as to how you can help. Your donations and your contributions will be going towards this particular project called Restoring Hope. So as God lays it on your heart, please, whatever, whether you can come to help with the renovations, whether you can give financially, but most importantly, that you can pray and pray with us that this becomes a reality sooner rather than later. Thank you all so, so much. So that's our Restoring Hope project, which that video was back in May. And we did make some progress with it. It's a partnership with Anoto Bay Baptist Church, with the Jamaica Council of Churches, and with my home church, Warringstown Presbyterian, back in Ireland. And this is, as you've heard, it's a ministry working with women and girls who find themselves in domestic abuse situations. And obviously we need to remodel. You've seen how the building looks, and it looks worse now. And why it looks worse now is because of the hurricane that we had back on the 3rd of July. So I'm going to jump to that in a moment. But you heard me referring to Isaiah 41, 10, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do any of us know what it's like to have God uphold us with his righteous right hand?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, because I certainly do. And I'm not going to go into any of my previous, I'm not going to give you any previous testimonies, because we would be here until this evening. It would be longer than a Jamaican service. We can't do that. I want to have my lunch today sometime. But God has, and I mean, I know a lot of you have heard my stories and heard the potholes and the diversions and things that I've had. But God has always, and this verse stood out to me way back at the beginning of my journey. It stood out to me through, coming to Kokomo to go through the great banquet, starting the way back in Northern Ireland, traveling to Jamaica for the first time, the call to Jamaica, when I thought that I was being called to the ministry on my doorstep. But this verse has always been very, very close to my heart. And I refer to this verse on so many occasions. And I quote this verse on so many times when I'm discipling or counseling or speaking to those that are going through. They're not on the mountaintop, they're in the valley. So Isaiah 41:10 really stands out in a big, big way. But when I made that video, and it was shared far and wide, and my home church has already contributed funds towards the project, and they are ongoing. They are raising funds ongoing as well, and a couple of individuals have as well. But the events of July 3, 2024 changed the direction of ministry, certainly in the short term. And the building that you saw, we lost part of the roof of that building, but we are going to restore, because it's Restoring Hope. We're going to just continue in the project that the Lord has laid on our hearts. But I want to, we have some slides. The hurricane, it was peculiar because they talked since March in Jamaica, the weather has been extremely hot. I mean, we had 90 degrees weather in March. And the Jamaicans, as it went through to April and all sorts of stuff, and there was a bountiful supply of mangoes on all the trees, and the Jamaicans say, "Hurricane, Sister Deirdre, hurricane." And so we heard about the active hurricane season that was coming. "We're going to have a hurricane, Sister Deirdre. We are going to experience your first hurricane." And I said, "Wonderful. What I've been waiting for all this time." Somebody said, "You can take it off your bucket list." It was never on my bucket list, let me tell you. A hurricane. No. But we knew by the Sunday previous, we knew that it was coming, and it was coming our way. And so we started to prepare. And it was the strangest thing, because on Monday, I mean, the town of Annotto Bay, I mean, everywhere across the island, I'm sure it was crazy. It was like Christmas Eve, and Christmas Eve in Jamaica is where, you know, everyone is out and they're shopping, and they're shopping for groceries, and they're shopping for toys for the kids, and it's just chaos. Well, that's what that Monday was like, and part of Tuesday as well. But by Tuesday evening, the streets were bare. Everyone was headed home. Everyone who could be was inside, apart from essential services and stuff. I mean, it was eerie. At 9 o'clock on that Tuesday night, it gets dark in Jamaica around 7, even in the summertime, but 9 o'clock on that Tuesday night, there was no one around. And a couple of us had headed down to the church to make sure that the sandbags were in place and whatever. I mean, it was like a ghost town. I mean, it really was. So Wednesday morning, as predicted, the winds, you know, were rising, and we thought we would have electricity until maybe midday. No, 8:45 on that morning, the power went, and that was it. It was gone. And we had, so you can start with the slides just to show a little bit of the damage one by one. So we lost power for 5 days. I lost power for 5 days. No electricity, no water, which means no fans, no AC, which means extremely hot. And mosquitoes are wicked. So, I mean, it was a difficult time. It was a challenging time for us. But we were so fortunate, because Hurricane Beryl did not affect our side of the island as much as it did the south side of the island. But it did affect us in many, many ways. I mean, many people, farmers lost their crops. Fishermen lost their boats. People who live in wooden structures, I mean, this is an example of a tree falling, and it fell across one house. And the zinc that you see on the ground there is, that was the roof of a house there. Next slide, maybe see what it is. So yeah, so this is another example of where someone just lost the roof of a shed outside. And you know, loss of power and no water supply, and you know, a lot of heat, and you know, flooding. Water can do extreme damage. My home was flooded because it rained so hard. The rain came in through the windows. It came in, even though the windows are secure, it came in through the windows, it came in through the back door. The church, Annotto Bay Baptist Church, was, when we finally got there on Friday evening, there was 4 inches of water right throughout the church, and that's a big church. But there was no significant damage. But you know, you put up your hurricane shields, you know, they use plywood, they, you know, they protect their property as best they can. But I didn't really know what to expect, and I didn't really want to experience the worst. But we were hearing reports of, you still had, you know, you had no Wi-Fi, obviously, no electricity, but if you had data on your phone, you still were able to hear some reports. And we knew that on the Wednesday afternoon, between 2 o'clock and 4:30 was the worst part of the hurricane. And it was crazy. And I mean, I was tucked away in my apartment underneath the main house of my landlord, and so I didn't have any fears of losing a roof or anything. But it was scary. I mean, it really was. You can see the power of God. I mean, you really can experience the power of God when you hear the wind and you hear how the rain is, and you know just how serious it is, and you watch water tanks flying across from your home. You know, so I didn't go out on Wednesday at all, and most people didn't either. But people along the seaside in Annotto Bay lost their homes, because their wooden structures with, you know, zinc on the roof, sometimes it's not even nailed down, it's just there. And so many of them lost their home, and fishermen, as I say, lost their boats and stuff as well. So there was quite a bit of damage in Annotto Bay, quite a bit of damage right along our coast. But on the south coast, where the hurricane actually, you know, skirted the coast, there's an area that I visit often as well, and 150 families lost their homes on that day. And when I visited a couple of weeks back, there were still 50-odd people in a shelter. So it was devastation. It really was. And roads were blocked. Roads were blocked for days because of fallen trees, of telegraph poles, and the GPS, that's the electricity provider, they were working tirelessly. It's not that they weren't working, they were, but they just couldn't contend with the damage that had happened. So the hurricane really derailed a lot of plans, not just our plans, but a lot of plans. We had church on that Sunday morning with no music, no sound system, nothing. We just come in, 28 of us had a church service, and it was so special. It really was, because Jamaican people have the amazing knack of being able to praise God in the midst of the storm, you know. And one of the most popular, you know, songs that they sing sometimes is "Ride Out Your Storm," and they certainly know how to do that. And it humbled me very, very much at how quickly they were able to do that. They were certainly struggling, but they still were able to praise the Lord. And I was so thankful to be part of that. So my organization, they, maybe 3 or 4 days later, one of my vice presidents had texted me and he said, you know, what can we do? And I said, well, we'd like to provide care packages for those who are most in need. And he asked about the care packages and how much it would take for a decent care package. And we discussed that. And so they put out an appeal, a crisis fund appeal. And over 2 weeks, we raised $12,000 for the appeal. We have distributed 120 care packages already, and we have fed about 600 or 700 people out of the first allocation of funds. And we'll keep on doing that. The ladies back over there, even while I'm gone, they will be feeding people twice a week, whereas before they could only do it once a week. But because of the generosity of people, we were able to increase the funds available so that those in most desperate need will be able to eat, will be able to help get their kids ready to go back to school in September, and life will become somewhat normal again. But I would ask that you would pray for those people in the areas, in other parishes in Jamaica, who almost 6 weeks later still have no electricity. Dengue fever from mosquitoes is a big, big thing, and disease from water that hasn't been treated, because they'll find water somewhere. You know, they'll have to try to wash their clothes in water wherever, and they will have to. They are being provided with clean drinking water, but other stuff, and so disease is a bit. I mean, it's a reality. So I would ask that you would pray for those areas, that they would get electricity back soon, and that. You know, there's lots of systems out there. It's an active season, and that none of those systems. You could move on with the slides, please. So this is one of the roadways in Nanado Bay. That's an ackee tree that has been blown down, and that those red things on the ground are ackee. Next slide, please. So this is a home of a lady from Nanado Bay Baptist Church who is almost 90 years of age. This is the zinc on her roof, but underneath where the wood should be has been eaten away by termites, by chi-chis. And so that structure, after that picture was taken, came down because of the force of the hurricane. Next picture. Yeah, so this is outside. So this is where part of the money that was raised, they're going to build a bathroom which will adjoin Sister Jessie's house, which means she doesn't have to go outside to an outhouse anymore, because the hurricane blew her outhouse away. So she was displaced. A lady almost 90 years of age, and she is just so accepting of her situation. So we decided that we really needed to help. Next slide, please. This is a school, a local school, where two of the classrooms lost the roof. I mean, the roof just blew off. And we actually were able to accommodate that school by allowing them to have their graduation ceremony in the church sanctuary afterwards, because they couldn't have it in the school because of that. The government has really mobilized pretty well. A lot of aid has come from the US and from the UK, from Europe, from China. And so they're working really, really hard to restore schools and stuff back to what they should be, because school starts in September in Jamaica again. Next slide, please. So this is looking in. The sky, where you see the sky there, should be the roof of the school. So the roof has gone. So that was That was pretty significant damage for that school. And, you know, these teachers and principals work so hard to keep their schools running because they have very little government-provided funds. Next slide. So I told you about the money that was raised. So we're going to see some pictures here of preparing the care packages that were made available by the WGM appeal. So I went to Kingston with two other ladies and we went shopping to one of the, like a Sam's Club, equivalent to a Sam's Club, and back to two other local stores, and this is where we got the items that made up the care packages. You can carry on. Next slide. Yeah. So this is actually us at the end of the first 60 care packages that we prepared. And these are just basic foodstuffs, you know, like your rice, your flour, your oil, your tinned meats and stuff. So basic supplies that people need to live, and their basic toiletries as well, because most times the needs are there already. And so when you have something like a hurricane, the needs are multiplied by so many. Continue on, please. Yeah. So they're packing up the bags. Yeah. Just continue. Yeah. So this is the toiletries being packed up. And they're putting rice into bags. They're weighing the rice out and they're putting that into bags. These were the supplies as they came in. Yep. And so this is ongoing, and it will be ongoing. And we do, I mean, Notre Bay Baptist Church do care packages on a regular basis anyway, depending on the funds that are available. So then the ladies went out to distribute the care packages. So just run the next few slides slowly. We see some of the recipients. And, you know, these people are just so thankful. So thankful to get this. This is a gentleman from Monado Bay with one leg, and he came across to me that morning, and Sister Deirdre, you know, he was just so, I said, can I take your picture? Yes, you can. So yeah, I mean, they're so thankful. So thankful to get these, because, you know, the reality is, and especially the first couple of weeks after the hurricane, a lot of people at once per day, at whatever church was providing a food outreach on that day, they ate one small meal per day, because that was it. That was all they could have. Yeah. So just know that, you know, whatever, however your support is, or whatever you do for Jamaica, you know, all this is so vitally important to the persons in the community that I am involved in, and that I, so we were able to increase the food outreach. Again, just go through the slides slowly and you'll see. We have a very small kitchen in the church, but they can provide 100 meals out of that kitchen. It's just amazing. This is a pot of rice and peas. I think that was baked chicken that was coming out there. And on that day, those pictures were taken, and they fed 80 people, and they also fed 30 odd prisoners in the local police station. And we feed the prisoners on a regular basis, at least twice a month. We feed the prisoners as part of the outreach, because it's like a relationship that the church has built up with the local police force. And they had asked, was there anything the church could do? And Pastor Travis said, yes, absolutely, we'll see what we can do. So we go across when we can, when we're able, and we pray for the prisoners. There are, as I say, on that day, there were 30-odd prisoners in the cells, and the cells are designed to hold 12 prisoners. So because of another police station being under refurbishment, they sent their prisoners across. So there's, I don't know, three prisoners to a cell that's meant to hold one. But it's all they can do, because it's the only facility that they have. So, yeah. Is there another slide, or is that, maybe that's the end? That's the last one. Okay, that's wonderful. So that's just giving you a snapshot of what we were able to do with the extra funds that were made available as crisis funds. And I think that most of you know, you've heard about my passion for the salvation of souls in Jamaica. And you really have to reach them where they're at before they're even going to listen to you. You really have to work very, very hard on a one-to-one to pierce their hearts. But there are so many success stories, like there really are. But I, going back to the restoring hope, you know, this is something that I have dreamed about. And when the president of World Gospel Mission came across to visit me in June, I had three lots of visits from WGM field directors and whatever. And the president came in June and he was so encouraging. And he said, you have built up such a rapport with these people. You just need to keep, you know, you need to keep soldiering on, he said. But he said, your idea, I took him across to the building and he said, I have seen much worse situations than this turn into dreams realized and having a real impact on the persons that they're meant, you know, to have an impact on, he said, so be encouraged. But he said, what I would like you to do is, he said, I would like you to be sure that you appeal to those people that you share with back in the States, back in Ireland, wherever, that it would be wonderful if you had some help on the field, and it would. It would be absolutely amazing. I'm getting old. I'm too old for some of this stuff. I'm getting old. Yeah, I really am. But no, I feel in my heart today, and you know, James said, you know, the Holy Spirit will, and absolutely, since very late last night, you know, I feel that sometimes if we don't express the need for persons to come on the field, that nobody will realize that the need is there. And I can tell and talk all day, but it's until you come and experience what is there that you will see and you will understand how much of an impact your presence there could make, whether it be a week, whether it be a month, whether it be 3 months, 6 months, or longer than that, whether you would come as an intern, whether you would just come to explore, you would be made so, so welcome. And it's not, I mean, when I was coming, God called me to Jamaica, I'm like, no. But if God is speaking to you, if he is tugging at your heart, if there's something in your heart about missions, and it doesn't have to be Jamaica, I'm appealing for all missionaries here who are on the field, but most of all for myself, selfishly, because if you have anything in your heart to come to Jamaica, please come and explore it, because nothing is impossible with our God. Amen. Amen? We have a miracle working God. I mean, we really do. And I have proved that over and over and over again. And you know, the mission field is not for everyone. I mean, I will reiterate, you know, you can pray and you can give, but you can also go. You can come and you can experience what it's like. And you can experience the blessing, because for every person that you would bless, you will have that blessing returned in so many ways and shapes and forms, really. But also, there is an opening for teams to come in early 2025. They could come sooner, but early 2025 seems to be a realistic target. We have a few guys from this area who are at the moment, they've been chatting about it, and it's getting pretty serious. I'm going to meet with them very soon. And so if anyone else from Here's Hope wants to come and join in that, you'd be most, most welcome. Speak to me afterwards, speak to Pastor James, let him know and he will let me know, because we have post-hurricane stuff to deal with now as well as everything else. My focus, if the hurricane hadn't happened, I would be talking to you today about restoring hope and how you could do, how you could help on that, and how with construction or with painting or with just coming and helping me to go get supplies and give me ideas about what to do, and also talking to me about how you could come. I mean, I need a young, dynamic, fit person, male or female or both, to come to the field. And I'm 100% serious about that. We really do. And you know, the Lord has mysterious ways of working, because I had an email from a person 2 weeks ago, and she said in that email, she said, I think I'd like to come and visit you. She said, I want to use my artistic talents. I want to do something in the area, in the community that you work within, and I want to make it better. And I want to focus on older teenagers and young women and those who are struggling, because she had a similar struggle in her life. And she said, God has told me for the last couple of years that it's Jamaica, and I have ignored him, but he said, I can't ignore him anymore. So that was a big encouragement for me as well. So again, as I say, we have a miracle working God. So does anybody have any questions while I'm up here? Anybody have anything really that they, anything they want to know more about? Anything that they would want to explore? Yes, sir.
Deirdre, so our donations that come to you, how far do they go? Because when we give, we will give what we can, but how far will that go for you?
I mean, one of those care packages costs $35. So that gives you an idea. Yeah, yeah. They can provide one of those meals. That's probably around $5 for one of those meals, because things are expensive in Jamaica anyway, and just like the cost of living everywhere, things are expensive. Yeah, and are getting more and will be more expensive. You know, they told me, wait another 6 months, Sister Deirdre, and you'll see the hurricane effects, you know, because everything, you know, because of the farms, the large farms, the fishermen and stuff, you know, the effects on that the prices will go up. Yeah, the prices will definitely go up. So, yeah. So the dollar doesn't go very far in Jamaica. We make it go as far as we can.
I was just wondering about the building materials. Like, I mean, it's such a smaller island.
A lot.
Two by fours here, even astronomical.
Yeah, a lot.
I mean, is it usually shipped to there to get, like, just a regular 2x4? Man, we take things for granted. Really. Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, it's, yeah, really, really. In fact, you know, they're more onto concrete board and stuff like that and built in concrete houses because that's cheaper. You know, and concrete repairs is cheaper. Yeah, but yeah, things are. I mean, for the repairs in Sister Jessie's house, which is basically building her a bathroom and repairing her roof, and just tidying up some things inside. And it's a small property, but I mean the building materials alone, because I paid for them before I left, were the equivalent of, I think it was $1,200. Yeah. Yeah. And that's not the labor. That doesn't include the labor either. So yeah, so the dollar doesn't go very far. But every little helps as well, you know. Any other questions? Wanna give you all a chance to have your questions answered. Come and see me. I mean, come and talk to me afterwards, because you know, there's so much that you could be involved in, you know, on the normal, you know, like run-of-the-mill things, day to day, weekly to weekly, you know, coming alongside young women and men, and young men need father figures, they need mentors, you know, I mean, and the women do as well, you know, helping to lead Bible studies, helping with the food reach, helping with Sunday school, both inside and outside the church. We do Sunday school on the beach quite often as well, because that's where you get the kids. After we've had a VBS where we've had 150 kids, and maybe the next Sunday in church you might only have maybe 5 of those kids. So we've started to go out onto the beach and try to capture them that way and encourage them, bribe them with sweeties. We do. But yeah, so I mean, we have to find ways. We have to find ways to meet people where they are, and the kids are the same as that, you know. So the needs are many. They always are. The needs are many. The opportunities to make a difference are wonderful, and they're such a blessing. So please think about, you know, even if you could come as part of a team to explore and see how you could make a difference. Think about how coming to spend a month as an exploratory visit would be such a blessing. And there are challenges, but the blessings outweigh the challenges every time.
Another question is, if someone wanted to become part of a team, contact Pastor, and then he can,
and then the next, I mean, if I wasn't here, then the next step is that you contact a person from WGM head office in Marion, and they do everything. They do everything for you. They really do. So I would encourage you all to pray about that.
Yeah.
because I think the hurricane brought home the urgency to me that, and I know that the WGM are 100% behind me in this, that we need to mobilise people to be on the field there. And WGM are so supportive and encouraging, and they are working alongside the Jamaica Council of Churches with me to bring leaders across, to train leaders, especially focusing on children, children's needs and children's safety, because children have been like very much at risk and in the news recently. The crime in Jamaica, it really hasn't gotten much worse, but if you hear of one incident and the press, you know, especially the international press, really focus on that, that's helpful as well, because it stirs up something within the government in Jamaica as well, even though it might be grossly exaggerated. You know, I'm very irate at the moment because there's a level 3 warning about coming to Jamaica. No, sir. No, come to Jamaica, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. We'll look after you. We'll look after you. But there is crime, as there is crime everywhere. There's drugs, there's guns, you know. I mean, so we just need to keep praying against that again. Young men. God is there. I mean, God is there. And there's so many breakthroughs in so many different parishes. It's really, really encouraging. It's really, really, really encouraging. So you've heard the story. You've heard about the hurricane, but you've also, I hope, you've heard about how we can impact even sometimes without realizing. And Here's Hope have been such a steady influence and a steady partner with us in Jamaica for so long, and we are so appreciative of that. And I just would ask that you would pray as to how you can still be a part of that and continue to be a part of that. And yeah, just Pastor Travis would say, just come. Just come. Come and see us. So thank you very much, folk. I hope that's been informative.
Deirdre referenced. You know, it's not just a matter of like the church here and or a church here and a church there, and let's help that poor church there with all those needs. It's us, you know, the church, big C. It's brothers and sisters. It's the church here and the church there. The Word of God says for us to love not only in our words, but in our actions, you know, in our deeds, that we love is commitment. You know, it's more than just a feeling that we have. And even as our hearts go out to the people in Jamaica and the church in Jamaica and what's happening there, it needs to be put into action. You know, we need to make a commitment. And so there's an old saying founded here in the Brethren Church many years ago when we first came here. It was down in the basement on a little plaque that said, a few can go. A few can go. Most can give, you know, but all can pray. And it's true. It's true. So I would just ask you, please, please, please make a commitment to pray for the church in Jamaica, to pray for revival, to pray for something awesome that God would do there. I pray that God would do, you know, the Bible says that God is able to do more than we ask or imagine according to his work in us, his power in us. So it's not even a matter of our provision or what we have or what we can do. What can God do? He could do anything, right? I mean, he's amazing. So his power at work within his church and through his church, you know, I could imagine a day when the church will be flourishing so greatly in Jamaica that we'll be seeing missionaries coming from Jamaica to Kokomo. Because we need it. You know, we need the gospel here, just like the people there do. And so God can make that happen. He can bring revival there. He can do great things in Jamaica. And so we want to be part of that. So I would just encourage you, we do give collectively, but it's also good to give individually. And you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. So give. Give. If God is just nudging you at all, go on that website. If you need help, you can ask Deirdre or ask me, and we'd be happy to help you with that. But trust the Lord to let him work through you, to love through you, through financial support. And so, and just, you know, giving one time is great. I would encourage you, if you want to do that today, we have the envelopes as always, and you can and certainly use that, write Jamaica on that envelope, give one time, and that's wonderful if that's what you can do. But it's even more helpful if it can be ongoing. If they can say, okay, we know what's coming in. And so that consistency is really beneficial. So I would just encourage you, if you can go, even if it's a very small amount each month, let that be consistent. Just sign up to do that on a regular basis, and that's, I think, the most helpful. So let's pray, and let's invite the worship team to come on back up as well. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your amazing redeeming love. And that love is so given in such measure that it overflows in our hearts and flows out into the lives of people around us. Because you're not stingy with your love. You give way more than we need so that we can love other people, Lord. And thank you that that love is not just a feeling, it is not just a word, but it's actions, it's tangible. It changes people's lives and it makes a way for the gospel. Lord Jesus, thank you that we get the opportunity to be part of your love expressed all around the world through missionaries, through sisters and brothers like Deirdre, Lord. What a delight and a privilege to join them. So, Lord, we pray. God, help us to be stretched today, to love beyond what our flesh is able to do, but to love according to your spirit and your power, and to give beyond what we think we can give, because you are a generous God, and it's you who is giving through us today. Lord, as Deirdre so often reminds every time I see her, you are a God who is faithful. You are a God who keeps his promises. And when you send somebody, you give all the provision needed for success. Lord, thank you that we get to be part of that provision. What a joy, Lord. God, we pray for your blessing upon all of our brothers and sisters at Oneonta Bay Baptist. From those who are working in the Sunday school, to the pastors, to the people who are helping with music, God, we pray today as they are worshiping you, just as we are worshiping you, that your spirit would just overflow. Bless their socks off for your glory today, Lord, in Jesus' name.